Hallelujah. I welcome you all once again, whether you are online or you are here. Welcome you to Halftime Renewal 2024. And I trust God that in these 4 days, as it's like filling up a tank, that God will fill you up and fill you up and fill you up till you are full to overflowing. I pray that beyond words, there'll be an impartation. That something will happen within you that will stir you up so strong that even when you have the Salah break afterwards, you'll spend the 2 days praying. Amen. You'll spend the 2 days just waiting on God and being fired up because of the hunger and the thirst for God that would have been stirred within you. Hallelujah. Go with me to 1 Kings chapter 20. We don't have a lot of time. I'll spend today, tomorrow laying foundations. And I trust God that Pastor Toluade will come. And then he will build a house upon it. But we never do anything just because we want to do it. We never have a program just because we want to have it. We never just try to think up a theme for a program. You know, you can actually, well, for those who are technically inclined, maybe we can use AI. Maybe Pastor NY, to generate themes for for conferences. But it's the same way that churches have called branding consultants, you know, and asked them to come and help them brand their church. So they will help you develop a logo. They will even help you develop a mission statement, you know, and say, this is it. I said, then the branding consultant has become the Holy Ghost. Because if he can tell you what your mission is, then he is the Holy Ghost. You know, so everything we do, try to pay attention to God. And several months back, God said, keeping on track, basically, and managing distractions. Because I think now, I mean, since then, I've seen it more and more and more and more, why God is saying that many people are getting very distracted, you know, and maybe for good reason. So tonight I'm really looking at focus. I'm looking at what do we focus on. Because if you're saying distraction, then there must be a focus. Because that focus is what you are distracted from. Tomorrow I believe God will have me speak along the lines of legitimate distractions. So the reasons or the things that are happening are legitimate. The things that are distracting us, many times they seem legitimate things. They seem like legitimate things. That is that I won't call them excuses. You know, so very often, when somebody tells us a reason why he did not do something, we will say that he's giving an excuse. But sometimes I listen to people and I'm like, yeah, what you are saying is legitimate. However, it still doesn't make it right. You know, however, you still missed it. However, you still made a mistake. What you are saying, I totally understand. I appreciate, I even feel for you. But if you have a race that has been set before you, then there's no excuse. I usually would give the, what's it called? The illustration I think I gave many years ago, that if somebody said to you, you know, I'm sure by now you found 1 Kings 20, isn't it? If somebody said to you, you know, we'll be back in the evening. While we are gone, please sweep and mop this floor. And then while we are gone, we were gone for 4 or 5 hours, and we came back. But you actually washed the walls. You washed the walls, you washed the windows, you made sure the old garden was very clean and all of that, but you didn't do the floor in here. Now, what are we supposed to say when we come back? Huh? We're supposed to say, well done. Great job. Thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Huh? No, the first question will be, what happened to the floor? Are you getting my point? I said, are you getting me? Yeah, so many times, there are many things that we are doing, but the question is, are you doing what you are supposed to be doing? You know, so 1 Kings chapter 20, a few days ago, this was not my main text, But a few days ago, I was having a nap in the afternoon, and a phrase from this started coming at me. And I jumped up to go pick it up, and then I knew that these things were changing. So God knows what he's doing. Hallelujah. 1 Kings 20, are you there? We'll read from verse 31. It's a little bit of a long read, and maybe for that I can ask you to stand on your feet while we read so that you are not going to fall asleep. Can I have an amen? So stand on your feet. Stand on your feet while we read. Even though when I was in medical school, somebody was sleepy. And then because he was sleepy while we were reading in the reading room, he sat on the backrest of the chair and put his feet on the chair and was reading and was reading. Then he saw that he was still sleepy because he was still falling asleep. Then the guy stood up completely, put the book on the table and was reading and was reading and was reading. And the next thing we had was a crash. Brah, the guy had fallen asleep on his feet and fell down. So look at your neighbor. Say, I know you won't fall down. 1 Kings 20, verse 31. Background is that Israel had been fighting with Syria, okay? And Israel was winning, okay? Winning. And this, the king of Israel was Ahab. The king of Syria was Ben-Hadad, okay? Ahab, king of Israel. Ben-Hadad, king of Syria. They were at war. Israel was winning. Then his servant said to him, that is the servants of Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who had run away because he saw that Israel was beating them. Then his servant said to him, look now, we have heard that the kings of the house of Israel are merciful kings. Please let us put sackcloth around our waist and ropes around our heads and go out to the king of Israel. Perhaps he will spare your life. So they wore sackcloth around their waist and put ropes around their heads and came to the king of Israel and said, your servant Ben-Hadad says, please let me live. And he said, is he still alive? He's my brother. Now the men were watching closely to see whether any sign of mercy will come from him. And they quickly grasped at this word and said, your brother Ben-Hadad. So he said, go, bring him. Then Ben-Hadad came out to him, and he had him come up into the chariot. So Ben-Hadad said to him, the cities which my father took from your father, I will restore. And you may set up marketplaces for yourself in Damascus, as my father did in Samaria. Then Ahab said, I will send you away with this treaty or with this agreement. So he made a treaty with him and sent him away. Now, a certain man of the sons of the prophets said to his neighbor by the word of the Lord, strike me, please. And the man refused to strike him. Then he said to him, because you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, surely, as soon as you depart from me, a lion shall kill you. And as soon as he left him, a lion found him and killed him. And he found another man and said, strike me, please. So the man struck him, inflicting a wound. Then the prophet departed and waited for the king by the road and disguised himself with a bandage over his eyes. Now, as the king passed by, he cried out to the king and said, your servant went out into the midst of the battle, and there a man came over and brought a man to me and said, guard this man. If by any means he's missing, your life shall be for his life, or else you shall pay a talent of silver. While your servant was busy here and there, he was gone. Do you ever talk like that? Eh? Have you been? Oh, all over the place. I've been busy here and there. So. Eh? Are you following the story? As are you still following the story? While your servant was busy, that was the phrase God woke me up with some days ago. While your servant was busy here and there, he was gone. Then the king of Israel said to him, so shall your judgment be. You yourself have decided it. And he hastened to take the bandage away from his eyes, and the king of Israel recognized him as one of the prophets. Then he said to him, thus says the Lord, because you have let slip out of your hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore your life shall go for his life, and your people for his people. So the king of Israel went to his house sullen and displeased and came to Samaria. Father, we pray this evening that you will speak to us. Help us to see these particular things that you want each and every one of us to see. Yes, we're a congregation, both real and virtual, but yet there are specific things you are saying to each individual because you watch over us individually. You are mindful of each and every one of us. Thank you, because everyone will hear your voice loud and clear, what you're saying to them. I will not be the same. In these 4 days, you will instruct us, you will guide us, you will direct us, you will help us, you will strengthen us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Most High. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can have your seats. So a few years ago, a friend of mine was talking to me, and she said, I need to, in fact, many times she couldn't go to work. And then after a while, she said, I need to get a driver. And I said, what's going on? I knew she had some health challenges. She said, I have double vision. And I said, what do you mean? She said, I literally have double vision. She said, sometimes I'm just going and I see things, they become two. You know, I'm just seeing multiple, you know, two, at least two of them, double vision. She said, and I can't deal. I can't drive that way. I can't do anything that way. I need a driver, you know. I mean, they've checked everything. It's not about getting, glasses or anything and all of that. So I knew some background things, you know. But why am I saying that? Imagine yourself with double vision. Imagine yourself walking around, and every time if you look to the back and you're about to exit this place, you see two doors. You know, if you look at me, you see two of me. If you look anywhere, you see two of that. I mean, how would you function? How effective would you be? Why am I saying that? Is that very often the challenge in life is not the fact that I don't have where I'm going or what I want to do or what I want to be or what I want to achieve. It's the fact that there are other things that I'm seeing. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? It's the fact that instead of being focused on something, there are other things that are grabbing my attention at the same time. So I'm seeing multiple things. They used to tell us that you can't chase two rats at the same time, isn't it? So you have to make up your mind, my focus is going to be on one. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you are going to catch any, otherwise you won't catch any. So you see two rats in your house, or is it two mice in your house, and then you start trying to chase both of them at the same time, you end up with none. You'll have to make up your mind, which is the mice that I am going to perish today, isn't it? Which is the mice that I have decided that today is the last day this one will exist. So you have to be focused on something. And the challenge that we have is that we are running through life, and life begins to throw up before us many options. Are you getting what I'm saying? Many options. The many options are a problem. You know, let me tell you a funny one. The other day, I was trying to get dressed, and I was trying to figure out what shoe to wear. Okay? I'm not, if you know, I try to dress well, but I'm not too particular about that. But I was trying to figure out what shoe to wear, and I remembered Pastor NY. So I said, oh my God, Pastor NY doesn't have this problem. You know, he has one shoe that he will wear all the time. He doesn't think about any of his other shoes. You understand what I'm saying? I said, I laughed to myself by myself. I said, see you now, you've stood here for how long looking at this shoe and this shoe. I said, he doesn't have that problem. He has one shoe and left seats. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because he is focused on one shoe. He's not thinking about which shoe, which color, the shoe is black. You know, it's also one of the reasons why men dress faster than women, isn't it? So if I buy a shoe, I buy black also. Usually it's black. At best, sometimes I will tell myself, I pinch myself and say, buy at least brown now, one brown now, one brown. But the woman was buying turquoise green, emerald green, leafy green. Are you getting what I'm saying? And then after she finishes with that, it has to match the bag. So you understand why she's there thinking and planning. And usually in those days, my wife would say to me, you know, we're about to go out. She'll say, what are you wearing tomorrow? I said, I haven't thought about it. She said, no. What are you wearing tomorrow? I said, tomorrow I will decide. After I've had my bath. You understand how last minute that is? You understand what I'm saying? That after I've had my bag, I just open the wardrobe and I pick. I just take one. But she has to plan. She has to plan how the colors match. So the options give you a problem. They said that the man who has only one wristwatch is always sure of the time. You understand? So the person who has three wristwatches plus two phones plus is comparing. One says it's 5 minutes to nine. The other one says it's 3 minutes to nine. The other one says it's 10 minutes to nine. Then he's trying to figure out which is the correct one out of all of these ones. Are you following my drift? That the fact that you have multiple things that you are dealing with can be a problem. So in life, we need to figure out what is God saying to us. What's God's plan for my life? What's God's mission? What's important? What are the things that God has placed before me? Because that's going to be the most important thing at the end of the day. It's not anything else that I'm chasing. It's not anything else that I want to have. It's not anything else that I want to become. I'm going to have to answer for actually what God has put before me, what God has put me in charge of and said, this is your mission. You know, it's just the same way that there was a minister's meeting and people were there and then they were talking. Somebody reported it to me. And he said, you know, the last speaker just completely blew away everything everybody else had said the days before. He said, because the man just simply came and he told them, he was a very well-known preacher with a mega church and all of that. And he said he just came that day and he stood before them in this country and he said to them, he said, I'm sure that many of you think that I'm successful. And the people, oh, yes, we know him and all that. He said, how do you know? He said, you can't tell because it's only based on what God has asked me to do. Do you understand that? He said, so to you, do you think I'm successful? He said, but how do you know? He said, I'm the only one and God that can tell whether I am successful or not because success is the fact that I lived my life according to God's plan for my life. Are you still there? Of course, if you know that you can dispel many things we call success. The Bible called Joseph a successful man. And you know when the Bible actually used that phrase about Joseph? It didn't call him a successful guy when he became the second in command in that land of Egypt. The Bible called him, he said he was a successful man when actually he was a slave in Potiphar's house. That's when the Bible used the phrase and said, and Joseph was a successful man. So you would have stood back and said, how can he be called a successful man when he was a slave at that point in time because he was right in the will of God? Are you with me? I said, are you there? So in our text, what I want you to see is this. So if the bit of it I want you to see. You know, when you read some of these stories in the Bible, you think to yourself that they can actually write movie scripts, isn't it? They sound very, very interesting. That's why the Bible is very sweet. You know, you can almost make movies, nice movie scripts and all of that if you look at it. So forget all of the big story and let's come down to something. Just the story that the prophet told. And the prophet said to the king, eventually, so king of Israel, had let the enemy go because the enemy said, oh, it's my brother, blah, 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 and sent people to him and all of that. And the guy was like, yes, it's my brother. And then he made an agreement with the guy and released him. So the prophet came and told him a story and said to him, I was put in charge of guarding a man. He said, but when I was busy here and there, he said, the man was gone. So what should happen to me now? The king said, well, they already told you that your life will go for his life. So your judgment is clear. Why? Because he said, your master said to you, guard the man. Can I hear you say, guard the man?
So the first thing I wanted to see in there is that the master has a purpose. Are you hearing me? The master has a purpose. God has a purpose for your life. God has a reason why he made you. That reason must be more important than everything else you can think about. Are you hearing me? That reason must be more important. The Bible says that we ought to walk circumspectly, looking for. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Go to Ephesians chapter 5 very quickly with me. Ephesians, the 5th chapter. And I believe we'll read from about verse 15. So it says, verse 15, Ephesians 5:15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." Verse 17, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." So it's unwise to live life without trying to understand what the will of God is. It's unwise to wake up every day without caring about the will of God. It's unwise to go through your phases of life without thinking about the will of God. What is God's plan? What is God's desire? What does he have in mind? If we'll place that before him. He said, and one of the things that scares people the most is that maybe God will just send me to do something that I really don't want to do. No, that's not really God. Because what we need to conclude is that God says that I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of good and not of evil. What does that mean? It means that anything that God has in mind for me must be good. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I may not understand it or see it to be good immediately, but I seek the will of God because God has my good in mind. So if he says to me, this is the way to go, then I ought to trust God that he has my good in mind, even though I can't see what the good is in this direction, but I take that direction because of my trust in God. John was writing, I think in 1 John chapter 3, if I'm right, verse 16, he said, "We have known and believed in the love that God has for us." So there has to be a trust in the love that God has for you. You know, I was saying to somebody that just a few weeks ago, is it a week, 2 weeks ago, thereabout, when they were doing all this first year, blah, 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 and the president came to Lagos. And I said to the person, I said, you know, I had to trust the love that my GPS has for me. You understand? So the Google Maps on my phone, I had to trust that it had good in mind for me. I had to trust. So when you're driving, so for those who don't know, when you're driving, you have this application on the phone that can tell you, I just put there where I'm going, and it would start telling me which direction to go. Turn right, make a U-turn here, then go left, and then in 100 meters, to make another right. You know, I had to trust it completely. Are you hear what I'm saying? I had no clue what was going on. But first and foremost, I think that night, Brother Malulu was here with his wife. I wanted to go and drop them back in Yaba. And normally, I just get on Ikorodu Road and go. But I put it on because it's become a habit for me. So I put it on, and the Google Maps started directing me. And we're talking as I was driving. Suddenly, I looked at it, and I realized that this thing is trying to take me to Third Mainland Bridge, you know, and then to go and turn back to Ebute Meta and blah, blah. And it first crossed my mind, and I thought, why does he want me to go to Third Mainland Bridge? And I said, I know the thoughts that it has towards me. Thoughts of good and not of evil to bring me to an expected end. So I just relaxed and I followed it and I drove all the way. And then it was, I think later that night or something, that I was checking up on the news and I saw that there was a fire on Ikorodu Road and traffic built up on that road. So what I didn't think it was the right direction to go, but I knew the thoughts that Google Maps had towards me. Are you following what I'm saying? 2 days later, I came out on a Saturday morning. I was meeting up with some friends. We were all going to this medical center and all of that. And I was following it. And again, it began to take me through a strange route to come to Ikeja. And I was thinking, why is it taking me through this way? And I said, remember 2 days ago? I said, just go. So I followed. And then while I was there, I arrived there smoothly, very smooth drive, early Saturday morning, no traffic, no problem whatsoever. And then when I got there, I was checking on my phone and I saw some of the other people messaging. I said, what's going on in Lagos? And then somebody posted something and they said there's diversion and blah, blah, blah. And Pastor NY also called that morning and said, did I call you? And he says, I wanted to go out and everywhere is blocked in front of my house. And then I followed and I said, this is what is going on. But guess what? I knew the thoughts that Google Maps had towards me. Are you following what I'm saying? So we may not know why God is saying this or why God has put that in your life, but we have to trust in the will of God, and we have to make finding out and following the will of God, we have to make it the number one thing in our life. Are you still with me, anybody? You have to ensure that despite the many options you have, is the will of God that you are most interested in above everything else. So number one is that in that story, we see that the master gave this guy and he said, guard this man. So there was a mission. There was a direction. Number two thing to see, these are all foundations, is that the guy said, while I was busy here and there, the man was gone while I was busy here and there. So what strikes me is that the guy didn't say I was playing, or he didn't say I slept. Do you understand what I'm saying? Then you say it's a silly guy. What nonsense. I mean, we were hosting a meeting some years ago, and we were using this venue, this guest house, and we put, so our guests were staying there and all of that. And then overnight, robbers raided the cars, and there was a particular car that was badly vandalized. They stole everything you can steal. Remove brain box, remove this, remove that. The man had to stay an extra 2 or 3 days, for the institution to buy everything and have it fixed again. He couldn't travel back after the meeting for another 2-3 days. He was stuck in Lagos. But it was interesting because I was talking to the MD of this institution, so we had to talk to, what's going on? How come your guards, blah, blah, blah? What happened? You have all the security, you have this, you have that. And the man said, in fact, we were talking to one of the guards, and the guy said, honestly, I don't know how it happened. He said, it is here that I slept. I said, he's actually telling you that he slept. You understand? He doesn't even realize that there was a problem. that he was sleeping on duty. Do you understand what I'm saying? So he was telling his car confidently. He said, in fact, I slept right here beside the car. I said, hey. I said, what do you do with that kind of person? He doesn't know the first thing about his job. Are you following what I'm saying? So this guy didn't say I slept. This guy said, while I was busy here and there. Can I hear you say busy? That's what I mean by legitimate distractions. So you're busy. You're very busy. But if you must learn to keep the main thing, no matter how busy you are. You must learn to know what is the actual important thing. It's good to be busy. So when people complain and they tell me, I've just been very busy. In fact, I'm too busy. I tell them, think about the alternative. If you had nothing to do. And we can even pay you. Let's say they were paying you to do nothing. How many people think that's a dream job? They just pay you. They say your job is just to sit down. You say sit down, be watching, counting. No. Sit down. If you want to sleep, sleep. But you must resume every day and sit down and do nothing. But we pay you. How many people will take the job? Only one person is honest. Are you there? So you must realize that, yes, it's good to be busy. But in the midst of our busyness, we must always identify and keep our focus on what is important. Are you still there? So the man said, I was busy here and there, busy here and there. But then the guy was gone. Now, the master didn't say, well, because you were busy. You know, I understand. You know the way we always say it, God understands, have we? It doesn't quite always understand. Are you following what I'm saying? It doesn't quite always understand. In all of your busyness, he expects you to find what the will of God is and to stay focused on it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He expects you to keep up with what is very important. Now go to Luke chapter 10, which would have been my original text. Luke chapter 10. So no matter what you are doing, we're in that time and that age. Some years ago, I was preaching on what I titled, Pharaoh is Still Alive. You know, and I was saying then that Pharaoh may not be a typical king that we can see today on the throne. But Pharaoh is very much alive in our societies. You know, he's still there on the throne in our societies. And where am I getting that from? Exodus chapter 5. In Exodus chapter 5, don't open there. Go to Luke chapter 10. Exodus chapter 5, Moses was sent to Pharaoh. The children of Israel were in captivity. Moses was sent to Pharaoh. And Moses came to Pharaoh. And he said, this is the message of the Lord. Let my people go that they may go and worship me. Okay? And what was Pharaoh's response? He said, it's because they have nothing to do. That is why they are thinking about God. Are you hearing me? He says, because they have nothing to do. They are not busy enough. He said, give them enough to do. And they will start talking about God and worshiping God. Does that sound familiar? Huh? Are you with me? Does it sound familiar? So they used to give them a certain amount of straws and all that to make bricks and then to construct and all that. And Pharaoh said, don't give them any raw material. Let them go and gather the raw material themselves first. Then they must still deliver the same number of bricks per day. He said, then you will see that they will stop talking like this. So what has happened to us? Is that there's so much piled upon us. There's so much on us. There's so much to do. There's so much that you wake up in the morning and you think to yourself, where can I buy an extra 6 hours? Are you following me? Anybody feels what I'm talking about? You feel, where can I get extra hours for the day? Because there's so much to do. And in that so much to do, what happens to us is that we then start rushing into that day, isn't it? You get up, I need to get out quickly. I need to start quickly. I need to quickly reply this mail. I need to start with this report. I need to, and then you start. I need to prepare the lesson for the day. I need to, and then we start, and we continue the race until our head starts closing at night. Then we shut down and we sleep. Pharaoh is still alive. Are you with me? You must keep an eye out to know that there is something. Like I said to you, if we're talking about managing distractions, there must be something I'm supposed to be focused on and that something is trying to take my attention away from. Are you still there? You know, many, many years ago, we had, BlackBerry phones. How many people remember BlackBerry? How many people almost borrowed money to buy BlackBerry? Eh? You almost did. Thank you for the honesty. But where is BlackBerry phone? Can you imagine? The thing you almost borrowed money for? Eh? It's no longer. It just tells you how things change. And now you shouldn't kill yourself over the things you can see, isn't it? The Bible says that the things we can see are subject to change. Okay? So don't kill yourself over what you can see. I want that car. I want that car. Tomorrow that car will look like junk. You know, there was a time it was what? I hope they will forgive me for that one. Dewu Racer. How many people, you remember Dewu Racer? How many old enough are you remember Dewu Racer? the Uriah was raining. It was the car for the ladies. Eh? I don't know how they marketed it, but women loved the Uriah. And I knew people that, my husband said, I'll buy you a bed. I said, no, the Uriah. The Uriah. I want a the Uriah. Now, honestly, I can't see one on the road today. Not one. It's gone. Like the wind. Are you hear what I'm saying? So things change completely. So why was I talking about BlackBerry? So some years ago, BlackBerry was the thing. And then in the office, people said to me, get us BlackBerry phones. You know, issue it as official, how would you call it? Official work phones. You know, get them to approve that we should get BlackBerry phones. I said, no way. I said, you don't know what you're asking for. I said, because once anybody sees a BlackBerry phone in your hand, they expect that every email they send to you, you will reply them in 5 minutes. Are you with me? I mean, there were other smartphones existing at the time also, but BlackBerry was the most popular for email capability. So if I was talking to somebody one day and he said, I sent this man an email, he hasn't replied me. When did you send your email that he hasn't replied? He said, I sent it this morning. This was just a few hours into the morning. He said, I sent it this morning. I said, but you just sent it now. He said, but he has a BlackBerry. So I told those people, I said, you don't know what you're asking for. Once you have that BlackBerry, they expect that you will not rest. You will reply every mail in 5 minutes. So you will have no other life other than the life that BlackBerry dictates to you. I said, so I'll be doing you a favor to make sure you don't have one. I said, see the phone that I'm holding. It can do email, but most people don't know that. So they will not harass me and say, this man has not replied email since, even though I could have replied that mail. But I decide when I'm going to reply mails. I decide when I'm checking mails. I decide when I'm not checking mails. Are you following me? You must know that in the day and age that we're living in, Pharaoh is still there and is trying to pile so much upon us in order to distract us from what is really important. Okay, so Luke chapter 10. Luke, the 10th chapter. Popular story, we'll read from verse 38. It said, now it happened, as they went, that he entered a certain village, talking about Jesus, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Can I hear you say distracted? With much serving. It wouldn't be fair to talk about distracted without saying what she was distracted with. Okay? And we'll do a lot more talking about the distractions tomorrow, hopefully. Okay, but Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him, that is Jesus, and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about what? Many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. I'll focus on just that part now. Because like I said to you, if we are talking about managing distractions, you must know what the focus should be on. Amen? So it's very intriguing. That's big grammar. It means it's very striking. It means it touches me to the bone. Every time I read that statement that Jesus made, and he says, only one thing is needed. Only one thing. Can I hear you say only one thing? How in the world can you take the complexity of the whole world and break it down to one thing? Do you understand my challenge with it? How do you take the complexity of the issues that I have to deal with, of the things and the roles? You know, recently we were dealing with something about time management. you know, time management. So we're sitting at the office and somebody was trying to train us on time management. And she said to us, she said, write down all your different roles. You know, so write it down. Role number one, I'm a teacher. Role number two, I am a mother. Role number three, I am a wife. Role number four, I am a businesswoman. Role number five, I am the prayer leader in church. He said, write down all the roles and then write down the things that you need to do under each role. And then plug it all into the week. Put down the things that are most important to get done. Why am I saying all this? Because by the time you sit down and you look at yourself and you look at your different roles, because everybody has different roles, Abby, and you look at all your different roles and the different things you must achieve under each role, each week. And then I say to you, and then you look at it all and you are like, ah, this is a very tough week. And I say to you, only one thing is needed. Do you understand that? You say, but I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to do this, I also have to do this, then I have to go here, then I have to have this meeting, I have to go to this other place. And I say, be calming down. Abi, only one thing is needed. You say, can you tell me only one thing is needed? In fact, under each row, I probably have at least 3, 4, 5 things that I need to do, and yet you are telling me that only one thing is needed. Only one thing is necessary. Only one thing is required. You see, Mary has chosen that thing, and it can't be taken from her. What's that thing? Spending time with him. Are you hearing me? Spending time with the Lord. That's the one thing. He said, just one thing. Everything you are chasing, everything you are anxious about, because he said you are troubled about many things, everything you are trying to deal with, he said, it all boils down to one thing. Only one thing is what you really need. Forget what it looks like. Because every trouble in your life, every challenge, every need says to you, I am the biggest. I am the most important. I am the most urgent. Isn't it? But he said only one thing. Spending time with him. Now, that shakes me up every time. Because it says to you that you can tell all the stories you want. But it doesn't impress God. It doesn't move him. You can say everything. But I'm this. I am so busy. I become that. I become this. He's not impressed. Only one thing is needed. Only one thing is needed. You know, I've said it many times. I like reading biographies. So I was reading about this man. It's late. Archbishop Desmond Tutu. How many people ever heard about him? You know, that's a South African. He was an Anglican bishop. But he was not just an Anglican bishop. He was a very strong activist. In fact, from the biography, he came into national limelight when Mandela was put in prison. So it's like Mandela, and is it Thabo Mbeki, were the leaders of the fight against apartheid in South Africa. So when they took those two and they were thrown in prison, Mandela was caught, put in prison. It's like there was no leader. So it's like, you know, and it says, hit the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. So there was no leader, and all of a sudden, this clergyman begins to speak more for the people and basically becomes the rallying point and the, you know, arrowhead of the resistance to apartheid. So that's when he became, more known, as it were. And he kept on, he was still a clergyman, he didn't resign, but he combined these roles. And of course, apartheid ended in South Africa sometime. Mandela was released, became president. But his role in history had been secured. So not only so, he was known then regarded as an elder statesman, not just in South Africa, but globally. So even in international issues, he was put on committee of elders, you know, where you have heads of state. You have Desmond Tutu there as well. And some people knew him more for that than remembering that he was actually a clergyman, as it were. You know, but I was reading one of the stories that somebody wrote in that book. And the person said they were together. They went for a meeting together. And for some reason, they had to share the same room. And this guy said that Archbishop Desmond Tutu woke up that day and was under the sheets and praying, and studying God's word for 4 hours. This was an international meeting. You meet with heads of state and blah, blah, blah. How many hours did I say? 4 hours. And then he said he was praying for 4 hours as he normally does. So it was not a one-off. He said this was the man's routine. So despite, I mark those kind of things because I said to myself, that is the secret of the man. Are you hearing me? That is why even in the secular, they listen to what he says. Because when he's coming to say it, he's not just talking. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He's getting inspiration from somewhere. He's getting authority from somewhere. He's getting power from somewhere. So when he's talking, even in the secular meeting, you won't know, but there's something different about this one. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because spending time with him is not just for the preacher. That spending time with him, that one thing that is needed, is for all of us. And there are many things we can break down. We can talk about the things that are important to our master. Okay, we can talk about the fact that evangelism is important to him. We can talk about giving is important to him. We can talk about all kinds of things that are important to God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But Jesus coned everything down to one thing. And he says, spend time. Spend time with him. Spend time with him. Everything else that takes away from that is a distraction. No matter how legitimate it looks. Are you with me? Let's run very quickly so that I can wrap it up. So why is that so important? You know, in so much that there is an attempt by Pharaoh, and of course you know what I'm referring to Pharaoh now, the world system. There's an attempt by Pharaoh now to distract us from that. To make sure that you are busy enough, you are distracted enough. So when you sit down, you know, these days, you pick your phone. Then I saw, they said, this one wants to connect with you on Threads. I said, forget it. If you can't connect with me on Facebook, you can't connect with me on Instagram, you have not connected with me on LinkedIn, which one be Thread again? Leave me alone. Are you following what I'm saying? But because you now get on Threads, then you get on TikTok, then you get on... You're looking like I'm getting in your business. You don't like where I'm going with that one. I should move on. Are you with me? You know, but by the time you finish dealing with all of those things, imagine how many hours go by you every day. And people say to you what? I'm so busy, I don't have enough time to pray. So those things press on us. I say to people, look, you can get me by email, you can make a phone call to me, you can send a WhatsApp message, and yet somebody wants to send me a message on Facebook. Messenger and wants me to reply. I say that one too. You will add that to the problem. You can call me, you didn't call. You understand what I'm talking about? So, there are rare occasions where I've replied anybody there. Rare occasions where somebody has sent a Facebook Messenger message. And usually I say to them, this is my number. If you want responses, get in touch. But don't send message here. Are you with me? Why? Because there's so much being piled on us and it's all trying to take away from the one thing that's needed. Okay? Why is that thing important? Number one, I'm talking about why is it important, the time that we spend with God. And why is there so much pressure to take away from that time? Number one, because if you spend time with God, you'll receive instructions. In God's presence, you get trained. You get trained. 2 Timothy chapter 3. So let's run through a few scriptures. 2 Timothy 3. You know, when you train, it's like when you train a soldier, actually train anybody. But when you train a soldier, you know, if somebody was in your neighborhood, grew up with you, your childhood friend, anybody has a friend who went into the military, who was your friend, your paddy, you know, and then went into the military. You have somebody like that. Now, you've seen him after he came out of military training. Eh? Did he seem different? Did you or anybody fight with him? Eh? Even sometimes if you just feel his hand alone, you know that something has happened to this guy. Are we? Yeah, it's almost like, you know, we get trained. I was trained in medical school. And I say to people, when you go through that, you almost become heartless. Because you have seen things. You understand what I'm saying? So those who couldn't take it, year one, they change course. You change course because where they start you from is what you call cadaver room. You know cadaver room? It's big grammar. It just means where they put plenty dead bodies. And then your job is to come and be cutting them. You'll be cutting them and be cutting them and looking at how muscles attach. Look at where the artery comes from, where it goes. Look at the veins. So you'll be cutting, and be opening it. They say, oh, yeah, expose the kidney artery. You will cut it, say it's over there. You will pull it aside and all that. And other people are cutting another one beside you. And then you'll find that after a while, from that first one, some people run out. Then they go for course change. But some people, after a while, you see them eating inside that place. So the person who came there is now beginning to eat where there's dead body. By the time he finishes how many years in medical school, then he say, that guy is so heartless. He saw that blood, he just was holding the leg. What do you think he will do? What has happened to him? He has been trained. Are you still there? 2 Timothy 3:16. And when I talk about spending time with God, it's everything together. Okay, everything together. I'm talking about praying. I'm talking about studying God's word. I'm talking about going to church and worshiping God and all of that. I'm talking about everything that brings you in conscious proximity to God. Okay, God is with us. So I'm trying to pick the right grammar to be theologically correct. But everything that makes you conscious of that relationship and makes you interact with God. That's what I'm calling spending time with God. And it says all scripture, verse 16, 2 Timothy 3:16. It said all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17 is my emphasis. He said what? That the man of God may be complete. Can I hear you say complete? Thoroughly furnished. Yeah. Doesn't that sound good? I said, doesn't that sound good? Thoroughly furnished for every good work. So it means that my spending time with God and in his word trains me and furnishes me. That's what the word, furnish means. It means trained. You are trained for everything good. You are trained to be able to achieve and work in everything good. That's why sometimes also I say to people, if you listen well enough in church and you follow the things that you see in the Bible and the things that you are being taught, I said those things will work for you in the workplace. They're not just spiritual principles. They are principles that will work because you'll be thoroughly furnished for every good work. Are you with me? Let me read you another translation here. God's word translation says, every scripture passage is inspired by God. All of them are useful for teaching, pointing out corrections, correcting people, because when you are talking about training means that sometimes they are like panel beating you. Abi? Sometimes you are getting hard knocks. It's part of training. It says, so it's for pointing out errors, correcting people, and training them for a life that has God's approval. He said they equip God's servants so that they are completely prepared to do good things. They equip God's servants so that they are well prepared to do good things. Remember Matthew 13:52. He said, the one that is trained in God's word is like a man that has a great storehouse and is bringing out things good and, old and new. He's just bringing out treasures, old and new. So a man that is trained, Matthew 13:52, that is trained in God's word is like a storehouse owner that is able to reach and bring out things, old and new, treasures. Hallelujah. So why Pharaoh wants you distracted is because you get trained in God's presence. Number two, we receive direction. Direction. I already said to you, and I think Pastor Enway mentioned earlier, Hebrews chapter 12, okay, that says that there is what? A race that is set before you. So what direction are you supposed to go in life? What are you supposed to do? You know, what steps are you supposed to take? Many times you come to crossroads. You know what you call crossroads? Eh? Oritamani. Oritamani is crossroad. Okay? Where you can go this way, this way, this way, this way. So, that's crossroad. The roads are crossing. Are you with me? Uh-huh. So, when you come to Oritamani in life, and you have to decide, where do I go? What do I do? If you use Agbari to do it, it might fail you. Are you there? So we need to receive direction from God. You remember Proverbs 3 verse 5 that says that trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. One says don't rely on what you think you know. He said, but rather in all your ways. Can I hear you say all your ways? He said, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. One says he will make your path smooth and straight. Basically, he will show you the best pathway to take. Are you still there? So when we spend time with him, we get direction. Habakkuk chapter 2 was talking about that. And he said, I will wait and set myself upon the rampant so that I might see what he will say to me. He said, then he said to me, write the vision down. Make it plain. When you spend time with God, he speaks. He gives you direction. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There is no confusion in life about anything. And I mean anything. Anything, big and small. I don't have time, but I can tell you many stories, not ministry, but I'm talking about even secular things where you'll say to me, how do we do this? I don't know. But as I'm thinking and praying about this, I start having an inspiration. This is what to do. This is what to do. And sometimes I prepare a presentation that way. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because he will direct you. Hallelujah. We are directionless, not because God isn't speaking, but because we are not spending time with God. We are confused, not because God doesn't know what it is, but because we are not paying attention to him. And we're not taking the time to quieten down on the inside and just open up to him to hear what he has to say. Hallelujah. Number three, when you spend time with him, you see things the way they really are. Okay? You see things the way they really are. There are many things that are not what you think they are. Okay? Many things are not the way they appear to be. So, I've told the story before. Somebody who was being offered a job, and they asked him, when they finished the interview, they asked him, how much was he earning where he was? And the guy thought to himself, what I'm earning, I don't think it's enough. So these people don't go and benchmark me over there, you understand? So he multiplied that one, if you know what I mean, and gave them a much higher figure. And the people still pushed it higher and offered him something, even way higher than that. That guy said, You know, he thought that maybe they will even still try to negotiate and say, ah, that one is higher now. They gave him higher than that. Ah, the guy said, wow. But in less than a year, that company folded up. Are you there? So, I don't know. I'm not saying, but maybe God himself didn't want him there. Maybe God wanted him there for that season. Maybe God didn't want him there. You understand what I'm saying? So, but who would know? Only God would know. So don't take the job because of the higher pay. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't go there because they are offering something higher. No, 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 no. Go there because God says to go there. They might even be offering something lower. Are you still with me? I know somebody that the company was working for went through a very rough patch. Very rough. Everybody exited, resigned, left, moved to another company. But he stayed. He believed God wanted him there, he stayed there. I mean, the future looked bleak. But guess what? The company bounced back. And he bounced back with it. If you know what I mean. He bounced back with it. Of course, promotion. He became a guy enjoying good money, enjoying good everything. Because he was where God wanted him to be, primarily. Are you hear what I'm saying? Primarily. So we see things the way they really are when we spend time in God's presence. 1 Peter 4:7 says, the end of all things is at hand, therefore be sober and watchful. That's what I want you to see there. Be sober and watchful in your prayers. When you spend time praying, you see things the way they really are. Something that you've thought, was perfect, the guy you thought was your dream man, all of a sudden as you are spending time, you are having unrest. You are beginning to see him differently. You start wondering, what's this? This guy, very nice, very everything. Why am I, sensing this? Because you are beginning to see things the way they really are. Psalm 73, very quickly. Psalm 73. I'll run very quickly. And wrap up shortly. Psalm 73. Are you still there? Now I can't read. Okay, let me read the first three verses first. Then I'll jump to where I'm going again. So I won't read 17 verses. Okay, it says from verse 1. Truly, God is good to Israel. So Psalm 73, verse 1. Truly, God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. He said, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Doesn't that happen to a lot of people? They are looking at people and I say, this one doesn't even know God. And he's prospering. He says, so I was thinking to myself, what's all this God said? What? Church. Who church help? Prayer meeting. Look at that guy. He said, that's the way I was thinking. And then look at verse 16. He said, when I thought to understand this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood the end. So he said, when I spent time with God, then I understood that the end for this guy is not really good. They look like they are doing fine, but I can see their end, and it's not as good as I thought they were doing. Are you hearing me? And then I quickly reshaped myself and said, I'm fine. No more complaints. Are you still there? Number 4. When you spend time in God's presence, you experience supernatural transformation. I think Andrew Womack called it effortless change. Effortless change. And I like that terminology that he uses. Effortless change. You just change. 2 Corinthians 3. Verse 18. Where did he go? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Okay, I think you have to put it up here for me now. This is, put the Amplified. 2 Corinthians 3:18. That's why they say technology refuses sometimes. Okay, good. It says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image. The Amplifier says, and all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continued to behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of God. So we are seeing the glory of God in the Word of God. He said we are constantly being transfigured into His very own image in ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another. So something happens. So I say to people that all of that Bible study you do, all of that going to church and you are looking at God's Word, all of that time you spend in prayer is never wasted. Never. Something happens because you are looking at the glory of God in the Word of God. He says, so we automatically, instantile. I'm trying to remember Chief Zebudiah. You know, something is happening to you. Whether you feel it or not, whether you know it or not, something is happening to you. Have you ever met people that you haven't seen in a while and they said, you have changed, though. You said something, you did something, and they said, if it was you before, you would have done this, you would have scattered this place. How many people have ever had those kind of experiences? And they said, you have changed too. Are you with me, anybody? That's effortless change. The time you spend with God is doing something to you. That's why there are distractions. So that you can keep saying, you know me now, anger is my problem, and you keep owning that problem. And you will not change. And that's why the distractions are there, so that the anger remains your problem, even though the Bible says anger lies in the bosom of fools. Are you still there? Let's put the last one very quickly. Stand on your feet. Let's put the last one. When you spend time with God, you are strengthened. Are you ready to go? Isaiah 40. Remember Isaiah 40 verse 28? Have you not heard? Have you not known the creator of the ends of the earth? He doesn't get weak. Neither does he faint. He said what? The old men, I like the way where it talks about the young men. I said even the young men shall faint. Yeah, what it means is that young people are known for energy, strength. He said, but even they faint. He said, but he that waits on the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, one day my nephew was speaking to me around 1 a.m. I'd gone to pick someone at the airport. So I was there 1 a.m. and I was talking to him. And I said, you are not sleeping. He said, no. I said, what about your sister? What about you? He said, they are weak. My brother just came around now. What about your sister? He just came around now. I said, what about your parents? He said, they are sleeping. I said, and you people are not sleeping. He said, they are old. I mean, he said they are old. My parents are old. But we, all three of us are weak. We are young. We don't faint. I mean, the Bible says, even the young men shall faint. The only people that don't faint, they don't get tired. They don't give up. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Luke 18 verse 1, the Bible says he told them a parable that men ought always to pray and not to faint. One says, and not to grow weary. One says, and not to give up. He told them a parable that people ought to pray. Spend time with God so that you don't faint. But if you don't, you'll get tired. Life will bash you, Pressure will be so much, You wake up one day and just say, oh my God, I'm tired. But when you spend time with God, he says, say that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. That word renew means exchange. Exchange their strength. So what happens when we spend time with God is that we undergo an exchange program. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When I spend time with God, I bring my weaknesses, my tiredness, I hand them to him and he hands me strength. So something happens. I just get stronger. Have you ever felt like you were on the floor and life was on top of you? But as you spend time, you know, you woke up the next day, you managed to crawl into your closet and you had your quiet time, but by the time you were done, 30 minutes later, 1 hour later, 2 hours later, all of a sudden you were hopeful again. All of a sudden you had springs in your step again. All of a sudden you felt like things were not as bad as you felt the day before. How many people know what I'm talking about? Because in his presence, an exchange takes place. So you have to guard that time. You have to be focused on that time. When you are in that time, he will tell you everything he needs you to do. He will tell you everything about everything. He will tell you about your business. He will tell you about your work. He will tell anything. He will tell you about your health. Are you hearing what I'm saying? One day I was worried. I was worried because I was beginning to stammer. I'll just be speaking. I say, God, what's going on? Then, you know, when you are trained, I say, rain tomorrow. He said, I bind it. You know, but the thing was there. It was continuing. And I was praying one day as I was driving. I was just praying. Because you spend time with him every time. And you need to cultivate his presence with you all of the time. And I was driving and I was praying. And he said, you know that stammering you're worrying about? I said, yes. He said, it's the coffee you are drinking. I said, I've been drinking coffee. It didn't do me anything. I'd been drinking it for about 2 years then. I said, it didn't shake me 1 to 2 years. I said, it doesn't do anything to me. He said, you are taking too much of it. At that time, I was drinking about 8 cups. He said, you need to cut down the coffee. No. Don't laugh at me now. Not life. The osu was too much, so I needed to stay awake. So I was drinking one cup after the other to stay awake. And some of you say, I don't drink coffee. You drink energy drink. Who drinks energy drink? It's worse than coffee. The drug inside is multiple of what is inside my own cup of coffee. So, and God said, cut it down. Once I cut it down, the stammering, phew. Now, if I went to the hospital first, they would have sent me for MRI, CT scan, and I just coffee. Are you there? I'm just saying to you that he will tell you. He will give you direction. He will instruct you. Take a little time and just commit to him tonight and say, God, I'm refocusing tonight. I'm refocusing myself. Thank you for speaking to me tonight. And I'm going to use this period to refocus myself. I'm going to rearrange my time. You know, everybody can rearrange their time, no matter how busy you are. You can rearrange it. You can put things together and determine for yourself, this is what I do. This is when I pray. And like I said, you can. Paul said, I pray in tongues more than you all. He says, pray without ceasing. Meaning that I can take it even beyond that quiet time in the morning. And that's what some people need to do, is to tell him that, hey, as I step out after my quiet time, I'm not going to stop praying. I'm not going to stop reading the Bible. I'm going to look for that 1 minute here. I'm going to look for that 5 minutes there, just to read one chapter at 12 noon. Just to read one chapter at 3 p.m. Just to stop for 5 minutes at 11:50 and just read one chapter of the Bible and pray again. And just spend time with him. Lord, help us. Help us. If you tell him, if you sincerely approach him and say, help me to organize my day. Help me to organize my day. Help me to come up with a plan. A plan that will work for me. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you because also there are distributions of the Holy Ghost. Even as your word was going forth, Acts 10:44 says, as Peter spoke, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those that heard him. Thank you, because there is a falling of the Holy Ghost upon everybody here tonight and even online. And there's
is stirring within the hearts of everyone. Oh, we won't be the same again. No, 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 no. We won't be the same again. No, 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 no. The altar of our lives will not be the same again. The fire will not go out on that altar of our hearts. But we will burn for you. We will burn for you. In Jesus' name. Is there anybody that needs to make Jesus Lord tonight? You've never been born again, maybe. Or you are backsliding. You've walked away from the Lord. You were there before. You were with Him. You loved Him. You served Him. But you've drawn away from Him. And tonight you want to be restored. You can do that. Or you've never done it. You've heard it a lot. Maybe you even go to church. But you know that there was never a time you actually gave your life to Jesus, where you actually said to Him, "You are my Lord and my Savior. I believe that you died for my sake." Are you here tonight and you need to do that tonight? Please, very quickly, put your right hand on your chest where you are seated. I've run out of time. Whether you've never done it before or you did it before but you've drawn away. Sin maybe has drawn you away. But you are saying tonight, "Lord, I am coming back to you." Thank you. Anybody else? All eyes closed, all heads bowed. Not because we're ashamed of Him, we're just trying to focus. If you're online, you can do the same. Thank you. Anybody else? Do it and do it boldly. And just say to Him, "Lord Jesus, I come to you tonight. I believe that you died for my sin. You rose that I might have peace with God. Just as you gave your life for me, tonight I give mine for you. That I will live for you. I will serve you all the days of my life." Amen. Father, thank you for everyone who spread that. Thank you because they are saved. And you will help them to walk the straight and narrow. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.